Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Brother Hollinger, that's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Once you get there, I'd like for you to find verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. Now, would you stand with me, please? Just stand up there while I'm going to read two or three verses. But I want to tell you something before I read these couple of verses. If we were to take the time, we could turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse number 15. The Bible talks about people becoming dull of hearing. Then, in Acts chapter 28, verse number 27, it talks about people that have become dull in hearing. If we were to go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, it again talks about becoming dull in hearing. What does that mean? Their hearing becomes weighed down. It becomes sluggish. Matter of fact, almost the word dull there, almost is paralyzed. I want to ask you a question. Is your hearing paralyzed? Let me now use some other scripture and we'll get into the sermon tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11, the Bible says this. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want you to notice something. Twice in those couple of verses, he says, forget not. He said, forget not. He's worried about us forgetting. And I go back to, I wonder sometimes if we have not become paralyzed in our hearing. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do something supernatural. Lord, I don't know what the rest of the world is doing, but we're about to exalt the Bible. We're about to learn how to live. We're about to study the only book written by the great God of the universe. So, Father, do something spectacular. Do something life-changing. Do something powerful in this place. I ask, God, that you would help my attention to be strong on the sermon. May all of us concentrate on what's being said, so that we can get what we need to get from this church service this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Here in Deuteronomy, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to us and writing to some people. Much of the book is Moses giving counsel to the children of Israel. And I have to tell you, in Deuteronomy, he's repeating a bunch of things that he's already said. Have you ever noticed God does some of that? You say, boy, he just keeps on saying it. Yes, he does. I think God felt that he had to repeat himself. And sometimes often, if you were looking there in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 14, we start out in verse number 11 and it says, beware that thou forget not. And then you get all the way down to the last verse and it says, forget not. It says, forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. He started the passage of scripture that I read to you. And he said, beware. Beware. What's it mean? There's a danger. There's something that you need to beware of. And can I tell you something? I think we ought to beware that God does not have to repeat himself continuously to us. I'll tell you a little bit of a personal story that will help me to make what I'm saying a little easier to understand. I needed to go to the dentist. I do not like to go to the dentist. I don't like to go to the dentist because it always costs me a lot of money. And I don't like to go to the dentist because having people work on my teeth just doesn't seem like the thing to do. Well, I went to the dentist and they had told me that I needed a filling. And I don't know if you've been through the process, but I remembered I sat down and they told me that thing they'd told me before. Okay. There's going to be a little sting here, and that's when they jab me with the needle, and it is always a sting, but I never consider it little, and so the dentist is not always honest. And that was them putting in the Novocaine. They were going to numb me up. And it's amazing what happens then. They numb you up, and then they can start pulling my mouth open, and I can't even feel what they're doing, you know? I could feel nothing. So they crank my mouth open, and now they can go to work on me, but I've got that Novocaine in there, so I'm all numbed up. And so, numbed up to where they do all sorts of things. They can drill on my teeth, I can hear it, but I can't feel a thing. I hate to say it, I can smell what they're doing, but I can't feel anything that they're doing. And then, you know how dentists are, they're working, they got your mouth cranked open with, you know, big vices and everything, and then they start asking you questions. And I'm thinking, you're asking me questions and my mouth is cranked open, you know, about 4 feet, and you're going to ask me questions. Does that hurt? And here's a real big thing. They understand what you're saying. It's a language that only a dentist can interpret. Wow. And, you know, now they've got me all cranked open and they're drilling and they're doing all this and they're asking me, you know, do you feel anything? And I don't feel anything. And I mean, I feel like they could take my top lip and probably pull it up and flip it over the top of my head and turn it into a toboggan or a skull cap. I mean, I'm all numbed up and I can't feel a thing. And so I am numb. I am at that point, I'm desensitized, I'm deadened, I'm paralyzed to some degree in my mouth. Oh, then they send you home, they give you a little tube of toothpaste that's about that big and a sample toothbrush, and that's their gift to you because you just gave them $500 to hurt you. Then you've got that danger that you're all numbed up. And you can't feel your tongue, you can't feel your cheek, and you can bite yourself. You ever bit yourself? I learned not to eat licorice or chew gum after I've been to the dentist because I always end up biting my gum. And then, well, I really hate this. If you ever bite it once, it's so much easier to bite it again in the same place. But here, it's sad. You can bite yourself right after you get out of the dentist, but it really doesn't hurt at that moment. So if you bite it again, you're thinking, that probably hurt, but I don't know it. But later on, when that numbness, when that paralyzation, when that Novocaine is gone, then I say, I just about chewed half my face off inside there. What in the world? Now, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about you and I as Christians becoming dull in our senses. We become dull in the way we handle things. Let me ask you a question. Is your Christianity paralyzed? Is it becoming dull? Hey, has it lost its zip? I would recommend that you're careful. Don't become dull in your hearing. Now, it's almost as if we can... I wonder if the devil doesn't come at you and I with some sort of a demonic Novocaine. And he tries to get us somewhat paralyzed about our Christianity. And we become dull in how we hear and dull in how we respond and dull in how we handle ourselves. I have to tell you something. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 57. I know my hair makes me look like I'm 97, but I'm 57. I've been preaching for a long time. I've been going to church for a long time. I've been doing what I do for a long time. And I have to tell you something. If I'm not careful, it could become dull. But I want you to know, I work at this thing. I do not want to be a dull Christian. I do not want to be a dull preacher. I do not want to be dull in my Christianity. I do not want my church to be dull. I do not want my life to be dull. I have decided that I don't want that dullness. I don't want to be shot with Novocaine from the devil. I don't want to be calmed down. I don't want to settle down. I don't want to lose my excitement. I don't want to lose what God gave me. I can remember when I first got saved, I was excited. I have to tell you, I'm still excited today. Any of you that knew me years and years ago, when I preach with excitement. Now, it's not as easy to preach with excitement today as it was back then. I don't have as much energy, but I'm willing to use what energy I have, and I still get excited about preaching. Now listen, if you're a young person, you get called to preach someday, let me tell you something. The first 1,000 sermons are very exciting. I've been doing this over 37,000 sermons, and you know, if you're not careful after you've done it 37,000 times, it could become dull. Don't you let the devil paralyze you. Don't let him do that. Don't let the Novocaine of life take the fire and the zip and the excitement out of you. I think the devil shoots at Christians with arrows dipped in Novocaine. And he's succeeding. I go everywhere. I'm watching Christians who are bored in their Christianity. What's there to be bored about? Did you know something? You're not going to hell. That's enough to get somebody fired up. You're not going to hell. Woohoo! Amen. You're going to heaven. We're going to live forever. That's worth getting excited about. Oh, but God said, He said, you better watch out. You become dull. They were becoming dull in the days of the New Testament and in the Old Testament. There were times where there was a dullness about them. Don't become numb. First of all, could I recommend that you not become numb in your hearing? In your hearing. Hebrews 5 verse 11 and 12 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now here it talks about someone becoming dull of hearing. Sluggish, paralyzed, slothful, if you will, novocained up in their hearing. As a matter of fact, he said, the writer of Hebrews said, I'm having to teach you again what I already taught you, and for some reason I've got to say it over and over again. And this wasn't a good thing. Now, I believe that repetition is the key to learning. But for you to mandate that I say it 50 times for you to get it, that's laziness, that's dullness, that's paralyzation on your part. Every parent alive would like to say to their child, do this, and the child obey when? Right away and the first time. You parents say, I get so frustrated with my kids. I've got to tell them over and over and over again. Well, how many times has your Heavenly Father came to you and told you the very same thing over and over and over and over again? And you say to your child, don't you listen to a thing that I say, and your Heavenly Father looks down and says, I told you over and over. Don't you listen to anything that I say. We can become dull in our hearing. Dull. It actually said, it said here, there's some of you, in that verse that I read, he said, there's some of you, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of me teaching you again. You know what he's saying? There's some of you, you should be a teacher by now. But here I am, still teaching you the same old things over and over and over and over again. What happened? Somebody came dull in their hearing. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe the truth that's needed for your spiritual success is being delivered from this pulpit. Now, there are some that are getting it. But if you're not, it is not the absence of the truth. It's the absence of proper hearing. And don't become dull in your hearing. Open your ears. I have a little bit of fun at my church in my pulpit. And every once in a while, I throw a fit about the fact that people will not concentrate. And today, it's hard to get people to concentrate. And from my pulpit, I often will use the word concentrate, but I really get into it. I'll say, okay, folks, look up here and concentrate. Concentrate. But we don't. We don't spiritually concentrate. The Bible says we can become dull in our hearing. Oh, come to church alert. Come to church with your ears open and your heart ready to receive. Oh, make sure that you're not dull in your hearing. Let me tell you something. The book that your pastor has been preaching to you can revolutionize the entire world. It can change you. It can change your relationships. It can change your home. It can change this church. It can change this city. It can change this county. But it won't change a thing if we're not listening. Dull in our hearing. You say, well, the pastor, he seems to keep saying the same old things. Can I tell you something? God has to repeat himself too. So, well, how many times are you going to say it? Well, how long do we have to say it to get you to do it? Number two, we can become numb. We can become paralyzed. We can become dull about the things that we have been taught. I'm talking about in the past. In Deuteronomy 4:9 it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart. Huh. It said, take heed to yourself, lest you forget what you've already been taught. Can I tell you all something? We've been taught how to live. And the way we were taught from the Bible how to live last year, it's still good for this year. Amen. Now, there's a couple reasons why you ought to remember what you've already been taught. You ought to remember it because you're supposed to still be living it today. But not only that, you ought to still be living it because there comes a time when it is your responsibility to give it to somebody else. You children and teenagers that are in here, let me explain something to you. Your mom and dad and the preacher and your Sunday school teachers are going to teach you some things that are going to be very good for you to live. But you need to understand there's coming a day when you will be the one that will be teaching your children and you'll be teaching somebody else how to live. You better learn it now and don't forget what mom and dad taught you. You're going to need it. Amen. But we can become numb about what we've been taught. Brother Gus, I've received some great, great training in my years. I was taught what to do, how to handle things in churches and what works and what does not work. Can I tell you what I do, Brother Nash? If I get to looking and something's not working right, you know what I do? I think back and this is what I ask myself. What have I been taught? What have I been taught? What did I get back there? And for some reason, what I'm doing is not working. I better look back to the teaching that I've already received. And I'm going to promise you all something. Never one time today has looking back to what I've already been taught failed me. I pull from the past what I was taught into the present, and suddenly we've got success again. But you know what? We forget. We become numb. We become dull to what we've been taught. You know, there are some of you been in church for a long time. You were taught a long time ago about fasting and prayer. But you become, I think people basically become dull about fasting. And somebody's got to bring it up again and we'll say, you know what? I know you ought to do that. And I've done that before and I probably ought to do that again. Let me promise you something. If you need something and you've been taught to fast in the past, go to the past, drag the fast into the present, and you'll find out fasting works today. But why did we have to be reminded of it? Because we become dull, paralyzed in our memory. There are some of you, you're numb, you're paralyzed. You've been in church all your life. Well, why aren't you drawing from everything that you learned? I think there's people in here that have graduated from fine Christian schools or Christian colleges. Don't ignore what you learned. Amen. It was given to you for a reason. Amen. Hey, second generation Christians, don't be pumped full of Novocaine.
Yeah.
My daddy is a pastor. Do you know many times first generation Christians are very excited because it's all new and fresh and exciting to them. Then the second generation Christians, they come on the scene and they've just been around it so much and so long and it becomes dull. I'm happy to say, to my dad's credit, to my Lord's credit, that I am a second generation preacher, but I'm as excited as a first generation. Yeah, I'm still excited about being an old-fashioned, independent King James Bible, knock down, drag out, spit in your eye preacher. I'm still glad about that. I couldn't tell you how many second generation preachers, they're numb. They're numb. Don't become numb about what you've been taught. Don't become numb in your hearing. You hear about the woman, her husband and she, their vacation was interrupted. And she had to have a tooth pulled. They went in to the dentist and she walked right up to the dentist and said, "Sir, we need a tooth pulled and I want no Novocaine. I just want you to yank it and we want to be on our way." And the dentist said, "Ma'am, you are extremely courageous. My, oh my, which tooth do you want pulled?" She said to her husband, "Honey, show him which tooth you want pulled so we can go." That Novocaine makes a difference, doesn't it? Hey, folks, let me recommend something to us, and this is a little more on a worship scale. It's a little bit more on a personal scale in regard to your relationship with God. Have you become numb about His name? That name above every name? The name of Jesus Christ? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." Now, I don't think we're going to forget there is a Lord, and I don't think we're going to forget there is a God, but I can tell you what happens to us. The word God, Jesus, it can almost become so commonplace that we forget who it is about whom we're talking. Have you forgotten? Have you become numb about the name Jesus? Does the word God mean nothing to you? Do you use His name in vain? I mean, it doesn't bother you. You become numb. Now, folks, I can remember, and we live in a generation where people are very disrespectful to God and Jesus. They, you know, they'll say God and then a word that starts with a D at the M or at the end, or Jesus Christ. They'll use it like a curse word. I can remember that if somebody was using God's name in vain and they find out you're a Christian, they would say, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry." They don't do that much anymore, do they? They don't care anymore. The name of God, people have become numb to it. The name of Jesus, people have become numb to it. Now, let's be careful that that does not happen to us. That's why and you won't find this in the Bible, but I find it in my book of propriety. We're really even careful not to use what I'd call secondhand cussing, use of God's name. You know, sometimes people can come up with a word to replace the word God, and to replace the word Jesus. I'd be careful showing any disrespect to that great name. I can remember, and I hope you do too. I can remember when I first got into Christianity, I remember a song that I heard sung. I remember the very first time I heard it sung, the name of it was, "Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know." Any of you ever heard the song, "Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know"? I got to tell you, the first time I heard that song after I'd been saved, I wept. I heard them sing, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name." And I thought, "Oh, I agree. I agree. What a name." And my heart was excited. Can I tell you something? He's even better today than He was back then. Jesus has not become dull. God has not become dull. We have. It's almost become commonplace. My, we ought to sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, I've got Him on my mind," and mean it. Now, we ought to mean it. Hey, look, when people call you a Christian, can I tell you something? You understand that terminology started, they started to call them Christians, I think it was in Antioch. They said, "Those of you, these are the Christ-like ones." And it was almost a mocking thing. But I can tell you something, folks. When somebody refers to you as a Christian, you ought to be honored. You ought to stop and say, "My, yes, Yes, that's my Savior. We should never use God's name in vain. We should never take it lightly. To that name, one day every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess. I'll promise you, when I heard the song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and I was spiritually moved, I was physically moved, I was emotionally moved, because I loved Him so much, I said, yes, what a name! There's coming a day when in heaven that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Folks, you're going to talk about one big emotional, spiritual, physical moving that's going to be amazing, because we will bow down and we with the angels will say, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Can I tell you something? You had better not become dull about Jesus.
Amen.
And God, He's still the great Jehovah God. So, see, we become numb. We can become numb in our hearing and numb at what we've been taught, numb about His name. I mentioned something about this last night, but let me add to it. Don't become numb about the importance of the souls of men. Don't become numb about the importance of serving God. I was reading in Revelation chapter 2, and I found in verse number 4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This is talking about a church that was in love with some part of serving God, and now they have retracted that love. So they left their first love. They'd become numb to their first love. They now have paralyzed that part of their Christian life. They became numb about that which they used to be passionate. They had, and that particular church, it was about really the souls of men and loving people. They had lost their feeling of passion about people getting saved. They used to love it. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something about soul winning. Some of you, if you've never gone soul winning, you'll have a hard time understanding this. But those of you that have ever gone soul winning and you've tried it any length of time, let me tell you what happens. There are times when I don't want to go soul winning. Please don't tell anybody that. But there are times I don't want to go soul winning. And I think to myself, I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to go do it. But you know what I do? I make myself go do it. And so I force myself to go do it. Then, Brother Damien, what happens to me, I present the gospel to someone, and they get saved. And this is a wonderful thing. I'll present the gospel. They'll get saved and I'll say, isn't this great? Well, isn't this great? I could do this all night. I don't want to go home. And if you let me get one or two more, I'm thinking, whoa, we're going to win the whole world to Christ tonight. This was good. I started out saying, I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. If I go, I'm going to have a bad attitude. And then I go and I win someone, and all of a sudden something happens down inside me and I'm thinking, what in the world was wrong with me? That was fantastic. Let me promise you, the devil tries to get you numb about the souls of men. Hey, but you get out there and you do it, and all of a sudden the feeling will come back. All of a sudden you'll get rid of that Novocaine from that dart that the devil penetrated into your spiritual heart, and you'll get that zeal and you'll get that excitement. And I watched a lot of you when I told the story. You said, oh yeah, I've been there. I didn't want to go. I went, I won someone, and then I wanted to go some more. And I thought, what kind of a dog wouldn't want to go soul winning? Yeah, that, I was a dog just a few minutes ago. Hey, have you become paralyzed? Have you become dull? Has the devil shot you with some Novocaine about winning people to Jesus Christ? Listen, are you desensitized about the needs of people? You know, the ministries of our church, they are basically about the same purpose that Jesus came to this earth. He said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that was lost. You know what the bus ministry is all about? Getting people saved and helping them to grow in the Lord so they can go get people saved. You know what Sunday school is all about? We teach people the Bible so we can get people saved so they can learn how to go get people saved. You know what our missions program is all about? It's not all about how many pictures we can hang on the back wall and say we're supporting all those. No, it's about getting people saved. But boy, you need to be careful that you have not become numb about your Sunday school class. And don't become numb about your bus route. and never become numb about singing up here. When you get up here to sing, you better stop and realize you're up here to sing. Not so we all look at you and think of how wonderful you are. You are helping us get everybody's heart ready so the Bible could be preached, so people could get saved, so lives could be changed, so we could build a workforce to keep the world out of hell. Hey, never become numb if you sing. Never become numb if you're an usher. Never become numb if you work in the nursery. Never become numb if you work on a bus route. Remember what we're doing. Come out of that lethargy. Wake up. Stop being slothful. Realize that heaven is real and hell is real and God is alive. Don't become numb. I'm telling you, I travel the country and I go to churches. I walk in and I think, is this a church or a funeral home? Are we alive or dead? Now, I'll promise you, I work at this. There are times when I feel dead. And I need to remind myself, God deserves my best. God deserves my energy. God deserves my zeal. God deserves my excitement. God deserves my enthusiasm. God deserves that. And folks, your God deserves the same thing. You walk into our church, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in Newport, North Carolina. You walk in, you say, well, I wonder what's going on. Something's about to happen. Must be a big day. Every day's a big day at church. Amen. Every day's a big day. Amen. We have a spring and a fall program like you do. This is what I tell our people all the time. Some churches have revival a week out of the year, and they have 51 weeks. It's just the same old, same old. I said, we have revival 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year, and we just happen to take a couple extra days and do double duty. We go to double revival and double excitement and double zeal and double productivity. But God never said, try to get excited a couple of times a year. I'm excited all the time. Amen. Why? I don't want to be dull. I do not want to be paralyzed. I don't want the energy of God to be dampened. I don't want it to be held down. I don't want it to be weighed down. You see, we can become numb. Numb in our hearing. Numb in what we've been taught. Numb about His name. Numb in our soul winning and our serving efforts. Oh, here's a dangerous one. You know, you can become numb in regard to your sin. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened. You know what that is? Paralyzed. Novocained. You're in sin, but you're on Novocaine in your sin. Hardened. Stubborn. Obstinate. Non-responsive to your sin and its effects on you. Hey, here's what I mean. Does your sin no longer bother you? Brother Nash got up, and the first time he got up and threw a fit about your pornography, you were squirming. If you were not squirming on the outside, you were squirming on the inside. You said, this guy's got my number. Whoo! He's tearing me to shreds. But you know what? You went ahead and went back to it. And since then, he's preached on it many times, but it don't bother you anymore. Because you're all novocained up about your sin. Now, that's a dangerous thing. Remember the first time somebody preached to you about tithing? And it got to you. And if you were like most people, you were not happy about it. You thought, well, what are you doing telling me? Who do you think you are telling me I had a tithe? It at least moved you. At least got some emotion out of you. Now, he can get up and talk about tithing. He's saying, same old, same old. I'm not doing it, not going to do it. He won't bother me. Matter of fact, I'll even say amen. 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 I got it all figured out. I would use a tithing envelope. They could figure out whether I'm tithing if I was ever asked. I said, well, I give cash if I give because I'm humble. But it doesn't bother us anymore. Now we can ignore it. We're desensitized. We're dull. The devil shot us with that arrow that the point was dipped in Novocaine. And now, well, you can preach on my sin as hard as you want. But you won't move me. I'm dull. People, you can be preached to about wrong kind of friends. It bothered you at first, but it doesn't bother you anymore. Immorality, it bothered you at first, doesn't bother you anymore. The liquor, it bothered you when he preached against liquor at first, but doesn't bother you anymore. Somebody say something about missing church and being unfaithful and coming up with every excuse under the sun not to be in church. And it bothered you at first, but it doesn't bother you anymore. Why? Desensitized. Desensitized. You bet. There was a preacher, and he had been invited to a banquet to preach. And he said he got in a hurry. He left his hotel room. He raced out of the hotel room, ran down to the banquet facility, and he's sitting right up front. And there were some other dignified people sitting at the table with him. And he realized that he had raced out of his room and forgot his false teeth back in his room. He's sitting there at the table, and the guy beside him, he said, "Hey, sir, I am so embarrassed. In just about 2 minutes, they're going to invite me up there, and I am going to speak, and I forgot my false teeth back in my room." And the guy sitting there beside him, he said, "Well, you know what? Let me I've got something for you." The guy reached into a bag and handed him a pair of false teeth. The preacher said, "Well, thank you." He popped them in, and then he said, "Oh, these are way too small." Handed them back, and the guy said, "Oh, that's okay. I got you covered." He reached into his bag and pulled out another set of false teeth. So the preacher pops them in his mouth and said, "Oh, these are way too big." Hand it back to him. The guy said, "No problem. I got you covered." The guy gave him another set of false teeth and he popped them in his mouth and he said, "These are just right." He got up, he spoke, he sat down, he said, "This is fantastic." All the people were clapping. The guy sat down, the guy sitting beside him. He said, "I want to thank you for your help. Where in the world is your dental office?" The guy said, "Well, I'm not a dentist, I'm an undertaker." Sometimes it's hard to come up with funny dental jokes. You all do understand that, right? God warns us about this thing of becoming dull. We can be dull in our hearing and dull in what we've been taught and dull about the name of Jesus and dull about our service and dull in our sin. And let me say this and I'm finished. Folks, you got to get the feeling back. You've got to get that feeling back. Some of you physically, your body, you've had some nerves damaged here or there and you say, "I can't feel in some part of my body." It's a terrible thing. And physically you would say, "I'd like to have feeling back. I wish I had that feeling back." But let me tell you something. Worse than being paralyzed physically is being paralyzed spiritually. It's even worse. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord." Folks, you need to get your feeling back. You need to say to yourself, "Look, I've become dull. I've lost my zip for God. I've lost my excitement for God. I've lost my interest. I've kicked it into neutral." And in some cases, you're in reverse. You need to say, "You know what? I don't want that. God deserves better. Return to God. Come to your senses." I forget what cologne or aftershave it was, but for the longest time they had an aftershave and they'd slap you like this. Anybody remember what it was? High Karate. Yeah. They slap you with that stuff and all of a sudden, alert, some of you need some High Karate spiritual cologne. Slap it on your face. You need to shake off that dullness. Revive yourself. Hey, see that you've become numb. See that you've become paralyzed in some areas. You're merely existing. That's all. I'll tell you what happens. You remember the little story at the beginning? When you're all numbed up, you can bite yourself. Matter of fact, you can bite yourself when that Novocaine's in there. You can bite yourself and you'll be bleeding, but you don't know how bad you're hurting yourself. Can I tell you all something? If you're spiritually Novocained up, you're tearing yourself up.
Yes, sir.
You say, "I don't really notice it. I don't really feel it." Yet that's the way the Novocaine is. But you will wake up someday and say, "Good gravy. What have I done? Why am I in this mess?" You used to come to the altar, but you don't anymore. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't bother you. You know, Brother Damien, I can remember times when I first got saved, when the altar call was given, I was scared to death to not go forward. I thought, I know God has spoken to my heart, and I'm going to go down there and do business with God. Well, let me tell you something. Through the years, some people just don't use the altar anymore. Now, I realize sometimes there are people that have health issues and things, and they can't always get down at the altar. But I'll tell you this, in your heart, there ought to be something that says, I wish I could go down there. I wish I could. There is a way in your seat to show humility to God. Maybe you can't get down on your knees, but there is a way to show that you're not dull at altar call time. I'm going to ask you to give me just 4 or 5 more minutes. I'm going to tell you a quick story. You'll enjoy the story, and I'll be done. And then in a little while, I'll be done again. I tell you, I love this story, and I never pull this story away from its sermon because I have a whole sermon about this story, but it's worth hearing. I have 2 missionaries in my church right now. Both of them were in Alaska for many, many years. I have a friend that pastors in Anchorage, Alaska. They tell about how Eskimos will go about killing a wolf. I tell you what they do. The Eskimos will take a whale bone, and they'll sharpen it one direction, and usually a long bone. They'll take it and they'll sharpen it one way and then sharpen another way until the point that that long, long bone is sharpened, razor sharp on one edge. They then go out somewhere in the ice and they take something and they scrape the ice until they have actually cut a channel in the ice that that whale bone will slide down into. They slide it down into that ice until that very sharp edge is just even with the top of the plane of the ice. They pour some water on it and let it freeze. Now that whale bone is down inside the ice and that sharp edge is straight up 2 or 3 foot of it. And then it's locked in because of the ice. And then they go get some fresh blood from an animal. They'll pour the fresh blood of that animal on top of that whale bone that's now razor sharp. They'll go hide behind a rock. The wolf's smelling sense is very strong. Wolves are big, powerful animals. So the Eskimo will go and hide. Before long, the wolf smells the blood. He comes looking for that fresh blood. Obviously a carnivore. Obviously the blood is a part of his diet. So he comes over and he sees that blood and he thinks, fantastic. He licks. He says, delicious. He licks again. He licks again. Huh. Fresh, warm blood. But then he licks and he gets down to a little bit of the ice, but the ice begins to numb up his tongue. Y'all know what it's like. We can get ice in there. A little bit of blood, a little bit of ice, a little bit of numbing of the tongue. A little bit of blood, a little bit of ice, a little bit of numbing of the tongue. A little bit of blood, a little bit of ice, a little bit of numbing of the tongue. Now the tongue is totally numb. He licks again. He's now down past the blood, down past the little layer of ice that was on top of that sharp whale bone. He licks and it slices his tongue. But he doesn't know. Why? Tongue's frozen. And he's thinking, wow, I can't seem to get all the blood licked up. Because every time he licks, he slices his tongue again, and his tongue gets more and more frozen, but he can't feel it. And now it is his blood that he is licking. After a while, he begins to tremble. He bleeds himself out, not even knowing what he did. He falls to the ground. The Eskimo waits, just like you would shooting a deer. The Eskimo waits for him to bleed out, and they drag him home. Didn't have to use an arrow, didn't have to use a gun. Why? He was so numb, he did not recognize. He was self-destructing. Have you become numb? Things that you know you ought to be doing for God. Things you know you should not be doing. Are you numb? Are you so numb that this sermon on numbness is not going to affect you? You're going to walk out of here and no changes. You're going back to the same old, same old. The truth of the matter is, you would say, I'm pretty bored with my Christianity. I'm bored with my church. I'm bored with my service to God. I'm just existing. I hope you're not so numb that a very revealing sermon on numbness It doesn't even affect you because you're so numb. God said, don't become dull. Don't let the devil fill you with Novocaine. I say, and I kind of mean it, kind of don't. When I preach, I'd love it if you liked it. I'd even love it if you didn't like it. I just need some emotion out of you about right and wrong. Amen. Amen. But when you're, that's lukewarm. Yes, sir. That makes God sick.
Yes, sir.
Lukewarm's dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Anybody here say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Don't know that I'm saved. Don't know I'd go to heaven if I died. If you'll raise your hand, I will pray for you. Anyone like that? Let me ask this. Christians, some part of your Christian life become numb.